If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dude, I actually got a phone call from my buddy Zach yesterday. I was on my way out the door going to a softball game. He goes, I got two tickets to the Valkyries. I'm a season ticket holder. Would you want to go to the game? I go, hey, bro, I can't go to the game tonight, but I am going to call you up. I want these tickets.
Hell yeah.
Me and my mother-in-law, my son, my wife, we are dying to go.
And then we can go to a Roots game. How about that?
I like it.
Let's go. All of it. Valkyries, Roots, all of it right here.
I saw a guy wearing a Ballers hat yesterday.
Ballers?
Yeah, the green Ballers hat.
See, shot collar?
Ballers, yeah.
Let's go. JC Hayward. Speaking of Ballers, JC and Hayward.
What's up, JC?
What you got? What's that soul-crushing loss that sticks with you, JC?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
JC?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man? What you got?
I'm on, hello.
Yeah, you're on.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, I'm a little younger than you guys, but in 2014, I was 12 years old, Oakland Athletics against Kansas City Royals, wild card game. If I'm not mistaken, we were up 8-0 in the seventh inning. And my mom told me I cried after that game. And Salvador Perez hit the walk-off double, but that one just hurt me. We were great that year. I thought, and we could have gone to the World Series and beat the Giants. I know you're a Giants fan and all that, but you know what I'm saying. Royals went there. We would have won it. All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. I do not believe they were up 8-0 in that game. Brandon Moss did have a 3-run jack. I want to say their largest lead at one point was either 3 or 5. Again, that was 11 years ago. So let's see. A's scored 2 runs in the first, then the Royals, and then, okay, so they were up 7-3. So they had a 4-run lead was their highest there.
Okay.
So 4-run lead, and that's heading into the seventh. And then to the eighth, they also had a 4-run lead, and that's when the wheels came off. 3 runs, and then the bottom of the ninth, and then all of a sudden we're in extra innings, and then the A's take another lead, which makes it worse.
Yes.
When you blow the lead and then get the lead back and then blow it again, that's just sticking the knife and twisting it into a fan base. And yeah, so it wasn't an 8-0 lead. They had a 4-run lead for most of it until the eighth inning, and then the wheels fell off, and you couldn't throw to first base. And it was over, and it was over, and that sucked as an A's fan. And that's one that's never, I'm never going to get over it. I am never going to get over it. And it felt like since that point, they could never win a wild card game again. I know they had the COVID year where they technically got out of the wild card hump because they beat the White Sox in like, remember it was like the bubble,
yeah,
if you will, at the Coliseum. They had all the fake fans in the stands. And then they ended up playing the Houston Astros and the Dodgers Stadium. Remember, it was so weird. Uh-huh. It was like at Chavez Ravine, and the balls were flying everywhere. Everyone was hitting home runs, but they couldn't get over the hump there. I think Marcus Semien had an error, and then the wheels came off there. And that felt like that was the last real, like, legit shot for an Oakland A's team because they had everyone, right? They had Semien balling. Matt Olson was balling. Matt Chapman, Mark Hanna. They had everyone playing well there, and they just couldn't get it done, and it was unfortunate. And now it's the Sacramento Vegas A's of wherever the hell they're from. So, yeah, that is a lasting image for A's fans. Or if you go even go way back, Derek Jeter. And as you've mentioned, Jeremy Giambi, obviously another guy. Rest in peace there. Some tough losses at the A's. And I've already mentioned 1988, game one, A's Dodgers walk off Dennis Eckersley. Probably one of the most famous home runs, maybe the most famous home run in the history of baseball. It's up there.
Well, outside the where the Babe points, it's a still photo. There's no, there's like not like an image that sticks out video wise. There's the catch from Willie Mays. Like so I'm talking about video picture moments in baseball. That is one of them. The home run by Kirk Gibson, pumping his fist as he's coming around the base.
And then obviously it felt like it was reminiscent last year in game one of the World Series when, who did it? Freddie Freeman hit the walk-off over Nestor Cortez.
I don't acknowledge that. But
the phrase you think of with Kirk Gibson, with Vince Scully, in a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. Like, that's an incredible call from Vince Scully. That was 1988, obviously. Just one of the great calls ever. And I think, was it?
Performance enhancers.
What?
Well, I mean, he wouldn't have played in the game if he didn't get shot up.
I mean, in 1988?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were doing it.
Great. Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire were on the other side. Like, what are we talking about here?
I hate the Dodgers. Just let me hate them.
I know.
I thought you were saying that Vince Scully was on performance enhancers.
Well, that's
like,
was Vin on that, too?
Yeah. Well, Vin was on the call in 1981 49er, the catch game.
He was, see? So we got love here for Vince Scully. Absolutely.
Oh, I mean, I love Vince Scully.
Absolutely.
I hate the Dodgers.
Famous redheads.
Thank you, Sam.
I mean, you're talking about Dodger losses. The game five against the Giants tied 1-1. Late in the game, and Bellinger gets the hit, and it's going to stick in my head forever.
Oh, you were actually there. You were a meme. You were on TV.
Bellinger was 0 for the season, okay? The
guy was so bad.
He looked like he'd been popping pills for months on end. He was so malnourished, and he was awful, and they just could not throw a strike
to
him.
Why does it always go back to drugs with you?
Bellinger's
eyes look like he's perpetually like, yes, that he's taking a bong rip.
Bellinger looked so malnourished that game.
Remember in that season, Dave Fleming, our guy who joined us yesterday, had the call of
Bellinger's so high.
He throws it so high.
It's still in the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys intro, that
is
call.
Is it Logan?
Logan. Who was the guy? Longoria hit the home run in the windy, windy, windy game down in L.A. Was that game three?
Yeah, I think so.
God, what a series.
It was an incredible
Buster's
series.
Home run, first inning of that is one of the great Buster moments of all time.
It was great. Carlos Alameda wants to join the conversation. Carlos, what's up, man?
What's that
soul-crushing loss that sticks with you?
Oh, man. For me, it was back in October of 2007 when my Cal Golden Bears were number two in the country, and LSU just lost in, they were number one, if I remember correctly, in triple overtime, and it was there for the taking. And just this horrible Kevin Riley scramble, which I was a teacher back then, and I remember my students thinking I was in mourning for a week, and I just had to wave it off and say, nah, it's just college football. But, yeah, that one hurt, y'all.
Tough. That's a tough scene. Cal had some moments there where if things went their way, right, against USC.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was sobbing after that happened.
Oh, no.
Like, sobbing.
I was despondent, too, after that one.
If I say Cal, early 2000s, the name that comes to my mind is Mac Brown campaigning for them to be in the Rose Bowl over Cal. Does anyone remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear Mac Brown yesterday just taking shots at Belichick and UNC, obviously former head coach there?
Well, I didn't know.
Mac Brown saying that UNC is now lowering the academic standards as soon as Bill Belichick got there so they can get more recruits.
Newsflash, Mac Brown, of all the people that I want to hear from regarding education and standards, give me a break.
Give me a break.
College sports has been a joke for a...
I was going to say, is University of North Carolina... Again, I'm not well-versed.
Jason Kidd went to Cal for 5 seconds.
Are they like a legit academic institution? I know Duke is. UNC, I don't think of like
a safety school.
Yeah, come on, please. Like, come on.
What?
A safety school?
It's a what?
A safety school.
Oh, is that
it's
the
a
one
school
you know you're going to get into?
Yeah, like for me, Florida State was my safety school. People go to Duke, UNC is their safety school.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, that's usually the junior college.
Remember, I didn't go to college.
For everyone. That's all right.
you know?
You're living proof that you don't need to go to college. Well, it's a pathway for some.
I recommend it.
But it's not a pathway for everyone. That's okay.
I would agree there.
There you go. Jay is in the Bay. What's that worst loss for you, Jay? Good morning.
Good morning, y'all, man. Hey, good morning. Hey, so for me, it was losing back-to-back years with your guys' pitcher, Justin Verlander. I remember being there. I didn't get to the 2012, but in the 2013, I was there, and Grant Balfour came onto the mound, and it was just like this depressing feeling watching him walk. And I just knew it was over. And, I'd have to say that's why up there is the most heartbreaking one.
Hey, that's not a bad one. Justin Verlander is synonymous with the Bay Area forever in multiple reasons. On one side of the Bay, he is the A's version that the Niners think of Patrick Mahomes. That's Justin Verlander for A's fans.
Yeah.
He killed him. That was peak Verlander too. He's insane. You just could not touch the guy. Uh-huh. Game five, he was that great. And credit, I think in the game five, he might have been going, what was that, in 2013. Was that against Sonny Gray? I want to say it was a rookie. Sonny Gray was in one of them. And he was equally as good, but again, there's levels to this, and Justin Verlander might be the greatest pitcher of his generation. I think it's him and Clayton Kershaw. As far as my money, I'm probably taking Verlander because of what he did later in his career with the Houston Astros. But yeah, I'm not mad at you for saying that. Back-to-back years, 2012 and 2013, Justin Verlander ending the A's season. It was tough, but also I go back to, what was it? Was it Game 3? In the ALDS in 2013 when you're up 2-0 already and you had the bases loaded against Scherzer and you couldn't get a run in, no outs, that's where you lost the series when you go back to. Like, that's the one for me that was a very, very tough
one. So I'm going to give you one of the worst losses of the Curry era that no one ever brings up except me. They knock off the Denver Nuggets and Iguodala's on the Nuggets. It's their first playoff run with that group. You have a 20-year-old Harrison Barnes, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry's becoming Steph Curry, Jared Jackson on the team, Carl Landry. Game one, Spurs-Warriors, second round. They've got like an 18-point lead with like 5 minutes to go. And Manu Ginobili goes freaking nuclear. Mm. Richard Jefferson gets fouled. He's on the Warriors. Splits or misses both free throws. It goes to double overtime. And Manu hits a shot with like a second left on the clock over Kent Bazemore.
Damn.
And I swear to you, in my heart of hearts, we win that game, we win the series. That team went on to, I believe, win the championship that year.
I found out the game that we're referring to. So the 2013 Game 5 ALDS, it was Sonny Gray went five innings, six hits, three and run. Remember, he was a rookie that year. Sonny Gray was so, he's still so underrated as far as I'm concerned. He was one of the guys I wanted the Giants to go after when he was up for free agency. But Sonny Gray, as a rookie, going up against Justin Verlander. Verlander went eight innings, two hits, 10 Ks, one walk. You know who the closer was for Detroit?
Who?
Joaquin Benoit.
Wow.
You haven't heard of that name in a minute, have
no.
you?
No.
Or remember who else was on that Detroit Tigers team? Al Albuquerque?
Albuquerque.
Who was like playing for 10, 15 teams, it felt like. Who was that? Delman Young. Remember that? Johnny Peralta.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that team was good. Well, of course, Giants fans know him because they beat him in the year prior, in the 2012 season. So there you go.
I'm telling you, that Spurs loss, I sound insane.
No, that I remember watching. That Spurs I was rooting loss. Hard for the Warriors then, too. Couldn't stand the Spurs. Could not stand them.
Curry had 40. It had to have 40 in that game.
Had to.
I just look that up. Someone look at game one, 2013. Whatever it is, the second round, the semis.
Did you feel better about the Spurs choking that series away in, what was it, game six against the Heat?
No, I thought we would have, honest to God, I think we would have played the Heatles. I thought we could have won it all that year.
I don't know if you're being the Heatles that year.
No, yeah. I'm not saying
But you felt like it as
yes.
a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. That was our team. That team was ridiculous. Jared Jack was such a great backup player, and Carl Landry was so fun. That team was years ahead of its like pacing.
So you're like Ginobili in that game. That's the guy that you're looking at.
Ginobili, G snap. Ginobili.
Ginobili, right?
Dude.
Sports villains.
That was where the whole Tim Roy, the Black Falcon flies high for the dunk. That's where the whole thing started. He was 19 years old and had like 20 points or 19 great. Or whatever. And
yeah.
God, I thought that team was the team.
UNC, by the way. There you go. Shout out to the education. Sports villains who haunts you is also a good one to tie into this because right now, Knicks fans are having flashbacks of Reggie Miller, who was on the call for TNT courtside, pointing at Halliburton when the game was over. Reggie. So twisting the knife even more.
I told you, if I was a Knicks fan, I wanted Reggie off the broadcast.
I feel you on that. It's fine.
Now you feel me.
Well, no, I feel you if you're a Knicks fan. I don't really care. I'm a fan that does. I'm not. I don't have allegiance one way or the other on this. But I understand where Knicks fans are feeling. That's just the nature of the business. Like, people are always going to feel like if Troy Aikman calls a Cowboys game, oh, he's slanted towards Cowboys. Actually, it's the opposite. I feel like Troy crushes the Cowboys even more than the actual, like, normal broadcasters would, because he's that hard on his own team. But I feel like Knicks fans saw Tyrese Halliburton do the choke sign. They're having flashbacks.
Oh, for sure.
So sports villains I want to get at, too. Who is your sports villain as Knicks fans are feeling like that towards Halliburton? Like, I was just talking about Verlander.
Jim Burt. You don't even know the name, do you?
I know the name.
New York Giants almost killed Joe Montana.
Yeah.
One of the first people I despised.
That's a good one.
Despised. And then became a Niner.
You mentioned Mahomes, right? Like, probably that's one for
He's one of the
right
greatest
now.
Villains ever, ever. And I hate him.
And, like, villain doesn't always have to be the Brett best Favre. Player. Doesn't always have to be the best player. Like Dylan Brooks, I don't know if he's a villain per se. I know it's his nickname, Dylan the Villain. But, like, people came out of that hating. Shangoon people are hate. Warriors fans hate Shangoon.
Tommy Lasorda, I've said this 1,000 times, is one of the greatest villains of all time.
There you go.
Hate his guts.
Well, wasn't one of the greatest parents of all time.
He's a bigot.
There you go. 888-957-9570. We're talking soul-crushing losses, but we can also tie sports villains in there. For me, if you're an A's fan, Justin Verlander absolutely is in the top for you. J-Dub is in Union City. He has a game that is soul-crushing for him. J-Dub, what's up, man?
Give it to me.
What's up, man? You're on the morning roast.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. How we doing?
Just living. It's Memorial Day weekend, dude.
It's just been beautiful.
I've been vacationing since yesterday at 10 a.m. in my mind.
Mailing it in. I love it. Y'all are talking about this conversation, and one thing it made me thought of, because I know you asked the next question about villains, the Bay Area has kind of been a villain for me in general. Because, there was that NFC Championship, Falcons Niners. Yeah. I've had to live through that.
Yeah.
There's the Brooks Conrad game, right? The Giants and Braves.
I'll never forget that.
I had to go through that one, too. Because, Chef, you said something, right, about, like, no one has knocked at the door more, right, than the Bay Area. No one's knocked harder than Atlanta sports, right? And I say that in terms of, 28-3, I'm always going to have to live that one
down.
You guys
just won the World Series a couple years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, do you know how many other close losses I've had?
Yeah, but you won a title.
Lost. Dude, the Braves are synonymous with losing in the playoffs than they are winning. For me.
Jock Peterson, Pearls, let's go.
You know why I hate your Braves? The Fred McGriff trade, 1993. Like, you're talking about villains, that's the guy I think of.
Yep, exactly. And so, I just want to say the story real quick, because I remember, 28-3, right, the Super Bowl. I was actually... My mom asked me if I wanted to go to that game, and I couldn't go because I was training at that point, trying to go to the NFL, right? So I was still here in the Bay and all that. So they went to a watch party in Atlanta, and they were celebrating. Everyone's having a good time. I was on, I was sitting there like, nope, I don't care what the lead is. I'm not celebrating. I'm nervous. And then one of my friends, he actually hit a group chat. He was just like, all right, time to plan parade. Where are we going? I was like,
oh no,
that's going to do it. That's going to do it. So, obviously, we lose. And then my dad, he's the ultimate optimist in the family. He texted me after the game. He's like, yeah, well, the sun comes out tomorrow. I remember waking up the next morning. It was cloudy. and so, it's like, all right, nope, there's nothing good going on today. So, I just wanted to tell y'all that story.
Jay, do you and other Falcon fans blame Shanahan for that Super Bowl loss? Or Dan Quinn? Or is there something else?
So I'm going to use a quote that a term that you use. There's a pie chart of culpability. And Kyle Shanahan is absolutely on the pie chart. He is absolutely on it.
J-Dub, thank you. Falcons definitely are synonymous with soul crushing. That is the game that solidified to me Tom Brady being the GOAT, was that 28-3. That's the greatest comeback still from a team I've ever seen in my life. Again, all great comebacks are equally great collapses on the opposite end. But that was... Everyone said the game was over. We all thought the game was over.
For a couple of years, you have to think about this now. The Falcons in successive seasons. Yeah, whatever it is. Okay. There was the final play candlestick, the Navarro Bowman pick six.
Pick at the stick.
Which got them into the playoffs.
Remember that.
And then the year before, Bowman batted down a ball to Tony Gonzalez. They were up 17-3 in that NFC Championship game. 17-3. The Niners fumbled on the goal line. I believe Michael Crabtree fumbled on the goal line. And Frank Gore did the dirty bird. It was one of the greatest Niner games of all time.
Was the running back Michael Turner?
Oh, right? Michael Turner.
Yeah, Tony Gonzalez, you mentioned him. Roddy White was sick there. Roddy White is so underrated. He was so damn good.
Thomas Dekou from Cal.
Wasn't Julio Jones wasn't there yet for that one. I don't want to say.
I don't think so.
I don't think he was quite there yet. But obviously in that other run, the 28-3, Julio was so teams. I thought once Julio got that catch late in the fourth quarter, the game was over. But he went out of bounds. They got the penalty. They get the ball back. The rest was history there. Sports, man.
It's like OG Anunoby not dunking that ball.
There you go. So for, I think, a lot of Falcons fans, probably now you're looking at, you know, Tom Brady. Or, like, see, it's such a cop-out to say Kyle Shanahan's, like, the villain for you. It's like, stop. Stop it. Stop blaming the offensive coordinator that got you all those points to begin with. Stop someone on defense. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go. Willie's in Pacifica. He wants to join the conversation. Willie, what's that soul-crushing loss for you?
Good morning. I can't remember the year, but at one point in college football, Fresno State was ranked number 5. They were undefeated. They looked like a serious national title contender. And then USC and Reggie Bush come into town. And I think Reggie Bush ran for like 500 yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns. And I really thought Fresno State could have gone to the, you know, national college football game that year. But that was pretty soul crushing for me because I loved that program. They were so good for so long.
It was a 50-42 game, USC Fresno State, 2005. Reggie Bush ran for 294 yards.
Right here. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'll never forget watching that game with Rocco, my boy Rocco. That USC team, I contend, is one of the greatest college football teams ever.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.